hide your flaws. No sense in hiding all of yours. You gave up on your dreams along the way.
Hello and welcome into the Survey Sports Show on WIPZ Ranger Radio. We have a special guest joining the program today, Jake. Seth McClung, newly acquired. He's back with Milwaukee. Glad to see him back. Seth, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, do you miss Milwaukee, Seth?
Yeah, it's been a while, and I miss you guys. I really enjoyed my time in Milwaukee. It was a unique experience coming from Tampa, where I was a fan favorite, but there was only about 1,500 fans a game, then going to Milwaukee, yeah. And then you got all those. Being a fan favorite in Milwaukee was one of the best experiences athletically in my life.
So if there's one thing that you miss most, Seth, other than the fans, maybe it's a favorite restaurant, could you name that for us?
Oh, goodness. There's about three that I really enjoyed. I liked Moe's, and mm-hmm. I liked Carnivore, and there was a new one down the street by Carnivore. The guy Moe's used to have it. I can't remember the name right now, but those three were the best.
How did this whole situation come about, Seth? Obviously, being with the Brewers 2008 for that postseason run in 09, now coming back to 2012. How did this all come about? Did you contact Doug?
We had really, my agent hadn't really had much success finding, a good deal. And then, mm-hmm. so I said, let me give Doug Melvin, let me reach out to Doug Melvin. And, so I gave Doug a call and got in touch with him, and I told him my situation. And that, last year, my numbers weren't that great in AAA. And I had knee surgery in the off season to fix the problem, and I feel so much better, and I'd like to come home. I mean, for me, coming to Milwaukee, saved my career. Basically playing those 3 years in Milwaukee and put me in a position to really succeed. And then once the whole thing happened where I was non-tendered and I didn't get to come back, I really, even though I left Milwaukee, my heart never left Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain, you have to take it as simplified as if a little league kid had played on his team and he really loved his team and he loved his teammates, and then all of a sudden the team didn't want him anymore. And, I was upset. I went to Miami during spring training, and I still, to me, was a Brewer. I didn't want to be in Miami, and then when I went to Texas, I didn't really want to be in Texas. I wanted to be in Milwaukee. And that's just the loyalty I had and the commitment I had to the team and to the community that had embraced me so much. And I understand business is business. So when it came down to an opportune time for me to come back and be in a situation where I don't cost them anything, and they're, they don't even take me to big league spring training, but it's just an opportunity for me to play. To me, it was the best opportunity aside from playing in spring training right next to the home here in Florida. I might as well go somewhere where somebody loves me and knows me and will give me an opportunity, and in turn, I love them. I mean, I'm going to be hanging out with my buddy Corey Hart a lot. I mean, he was in my wedding. These are my friends, and I will miss friends, but it's good to see that a majority of that core unit is still there.
Hey, Seth, this is Jake Sorey here. What is it like being in the Brewers organization? You say about missing it and stuff. Does it have to do with, the Brewers put butts in the seats. Does that get you jacked as far as that goes? Or is it something, you talked about Corey Hart. Is it more just the camaraderie, the group of players that are in Milwaukee right now?
Well, I think you kind of have a perfect storm of it. I mean, you have a perfect storm of the fans, a great mix of players, and the front office is great. And for the most part, the coaching staff, I love 99.9% of everybody in the Milwaukee organization. You don't get that everywhere. You don't usually, you got coaches who are turds, or you got players who are turds, and fans that are turds. Well, Milwaukee fans, I grew up in West Virginia. I was a blue-collar guy. You go to a Milwaukee game, it's like I'm hanging with my buddies back home. I get it. You guys have a few drinks, get fun, yell, get rowdy. You love your team. I dig it. I love it. I love being a part of that. I love running through that brick wall for Milwaukee, for the Brewers, for the organization, for the fans, because you get it. I didn't always pitch great, but the fans really respected the fact that I gave everything I had, and I think that's why I related so much with them. And that's at least that's what they told me down on Water Street when I was hanging out.
Speaking of West Virginia, Seth, this summer I actually spent some time in West Virginia. I was an intern with the Princeton Rays down there, and I know you are pretty famous down there in West Virginia. So, Seth, how was that when you got drafted by the Rays, ended up basically 40 miles from your hometown, your first experience in professional baseball?
Well listen, it wasn't as good as you think. Princeton was a conference game for us in high school, and yeah. We beat them in everything from football, basketball to baseball. I mean, I hit a home run under the football stadium there as a junior. And so to win the sectionals, I had 36 points and 20 rebounds against them in a sectional championship game. And I missed a dunk. I tried to rip the rim off, and I missed a dunk. And all people wanted to talk about was me missing that dunk. And I said, I had 36 points and 20 rebounds, and we won. You guys want to talk about the dunk? What about the three dunks I had that went in? And so my first year in pro ball, I struggled. I really did. People think I'm well now. You should have seen me as a kid. I started hitting batters on purpose because I didn't want to lead the league in walks, and hit batsmen as another category. So it's just, it was crazy. It was 100 miles in and 105 coming out. And, you know, we played on a team with Josh Hamilton, Carl Crawford, and about eight other future big leaguers, and we were the worst team in the league. It was crazy. And then I had fans heckling me from Princeton. But being close to home was great because when I got homesick, I went home. I mean, and, you know, it was a unique experience, and one that wasn't like most people would think it was.
Well, as far as just looking towards the season, Seth, just talk a little about your off-season routine that you are getting into, getting ready here for spring training, and preparing for your minor league deal with the Brewers.
Well, Gord Ash has told me that I'm going to come in and compete for a starting rotation spot, which to me is awesome. It means I get to hit. But that also means I got to run a little bit. And with my surgically repaired knee, I had a meniscus surgery about 9.5 weeks ago. I just got to the point where I can run about 2.5 weeks ago. And I'm working on getting my cardio up and getting my weight down and just overall leg and shoulder strength. I coach a girls' high school basketball team down here, Pinellas Park Patriots, so I'll get out there and I'll run with the girls a little bit on the gym, but I got to be careful because it hurts the knee. But the big thing is getting out there, getting the long toss going, and getting the strength training going.
Yeah, speaking of that Pinellas Park program, we were just reading up on you a little bit before the last couple of days, and we saw them articles about how you're coaching girls' basketball team there down there in Florida. What has that been like for you as far as what have you learned, maybe some coaching tips for coaches out there listening to the program?
Well, first and foremost, you got to understand about the program I took over. They haven't had a winning season since 1996, and if you think about that, that's 96. So it's been a long time. Yeah. I took over a program from a school that's 2,200 students, and the year before I played, they had five players on varsity and five players on JV, and then when I came in and coached them, I didn't get any of those players. None of those players played. So the first year we went 0-26, and I was the head varsity coach and the head JV coach, and I played with 23 girls who had never played a varsity sport before, let alone basketball. So in year two, we're now 4-19. I've got eight freshmen on the varsity team right now, and then I've got three sophomores and a junior, and the rest are seniors. And so we're a really young team. And what I would suggest is patience and consistency. I'm hard to play for. I'm loud. I've coached at University of Tampa before. I've coached for 14 years. Parts here and there, from rec league to college basketball, and I am very what you would call a disciplinarian, and I believe in consistency, and I also believe in, even though our skill level is not that high, I have high expectations. I think there was a quote by John Wooden that said, "Don't confuse activity with achievement," and right now, the staff in the school, they're just tickled pink that we got four wins and I've got, 25 girls out, and heck, we even cut some girls this year. And, you know, they're just, the administration's thinking this is great. And I keep telling some of them, they said, you know, the end game is our goal is a state championship, and you got to keep lofty goals. Because if you get satisfied with mediocrity or satisfied with that C grade, then you're going to get that C grade. You're never going to achieve the higher levels. And that's a message for these girls who are really, you know, non-athletes. It's a hard one to swallow for, because I'm asking them to do things that they're not capable of doing. And then you just push them until they do. You know, don't get me wrong. I love these girls. They're great kids. They work hard for me, but they're not all athletes and basketball players. And what I try to tell them is the hard work you put in during basketball season will translate over into real life.
All right. Well, that's very inspirational, Seth. Glad you're having fun with that. You're listening to the Survey Sports Show on WIPZ.org. One final question for you, Seth, and we'll let you go. Of course, the news regarding Prince Fielder, what was your initial reaction? I take it that you were probably pretty good friends with the guy. How did you feel about that when that whole situation went down?
Well, I'm happy he got his money. You know, people in Milwaukee, please don't be upset with Prince. You got to understand at some point this is a business. And, I mean, when somebody says, what's $1 million more, what's $10 million? It's $10 million, guys. I mean, $10 million is a lot of money. So, you know, good that he got his money. I was a little surprised it was Detroit. You know, I that's a hard park to hit in. And I think at the rate Prince Fielder was going in, I think he was a Hall of Famer. And what I think he's got to be careful now is his power numbers might drip. He might have cost himself a shot at the Hall of Fame just because of playing in that park. Now, again, he's back. He's in the Central. So, I mean, they are going to play in other parks that are bandboxes. But, it, you know, Milwaukee is considered a hitter's park. And I would have liked to see Prince somewhere where at least a fair stadium as opposed to such a hard stadium to hit in, because I think he's such a great, great hitter. I think Prince is a Hall of Fame caliber hitter if he stays healthy. And he's just made it a little bit harder now that he's going to have to be in Detroit. Now, granted, that team's going to be really good. You know, you got a good pitching staff, and now you got some protection for Cabrera and, you know, vice versa. So they're going to be really good. I just think at the end of his career, you know, I think his power numbers will hurt a little bit because of it.
Thanks for joining the program, Seth, here on the Survey Sports Show. Wish you the best of luck here in the upcoming season with the Brewers. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Sure, anytime you guys need anything, give me a holler.
All right, no problem. Have a good one, Seth. Goodbye.
You too, brother.
That was Seth McClung. Great guy, Jake. Very interesting stories that he has. I'll tell you what, Jake, we definitely have to have Seth on the program again.
I mean, we just scratched the surface.
Yeah. He gives really good answers, and he's not... Sometimes you have athletes that are kind of a bore, and he's very interesting, his comments that he makes. And I'll tell you what, we definitely got to have him on the show again. But we're going to take a break here on the Survey Sports Show on WIPZ.org.